Good morning. I would like to thank the Lord together once more today. I personally am convinced that I am enjoying myself in this place. You know, this Apostle Paul said, it is better that the heart of man is rooted or is satisfied in grace than in meats. Now, as I was attending the conference from the first day up to now, I learned a lot of new things and I got a lot of questions in my mind answered.
Yes.
So, I will share with you some of the thoughts that came into my mind. You know, from the word go in the book of Genesis through to the book of Revelation, grace is found right through all the pages of the Bible. Even during the dispensation of the law, grace was there. Because you cannot remove grace from the nature of God. Grace is the nature of God Himself. And like holiness, it's very difficult to define. Grace is manifold. It takes a lot of dimensions. And you discover from the book of John chapter 1, should be verse 16.
John chapter 1, 16.
The writer says, and from his grace have we all received grace. Other versions will say, from his grace have we all received blessing after blessing. Now, it's human nature to try and please God by how we act. And this is why human beings are religious animals. Unlike cattle or wild animals, they are not religious. Human beings are religious. Whether they go to church or they don't, they are religious. So if you are in church and you are religious, you are only acting very natural. God is not yet living in you. Because that's what every human being can do. They try to reach out to God so God can see them. They please God. You see, there are certain passages that you would want to understand from the book of Matthew. And this is Jesus' encounter with the Pharisees. There was a lot of arguments between these two groups of people. The Pharisees were very religious people. And they thought they were soldiers of religion. They were custodians of the holiness of God. Just as we are Pharisees in our day. We just change labels, but the nature is the same. Now, these are guys who are custodians of the holiness of God. When they see someone trying to reach out to God, they are the prefects. When you have religious people in your congregation, this is what happens. They carry to church small notebooks and pens to write names of people who are going to heaven and those who are not going to heaven. They will tell you, this one will not enter this one. Because they are using their standard. They are saying, because they are not like me, they are not going. Because I worked very hard to be like this, and I know God is happy about this. It's amazing. One day Jesus Christ says something to the people who were there. Matthew 5:20. He says, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, you will likewise not enter the kingdom of heaven. That was a mind-blowing statement. Because the Pharisees were the teachers of the religious system. Now, if you tell your students that if you are not more than your teacher, you cannot enter, that's difficult. So they saw that the kind of righteousness that is required, no man can reach. And Jesus was always about this topic. I want to show you where our evangelistic efforts are disturbed by the kind of people that we have. I personally think that evangelism is as natural as breathing air to every real believer. Because I'm saying I'm not better than the sinner who is seated there. But sometimes we have got people whom we look at and see, these are not fit for heaven. These ones can go to heaven like that. It took Paul's, one of Paul's advice was saying, the truth is Jesus Christ came to save that which was lost. And that concept cannot come into a religious mind. Because the religious person says, I got it already because I act right. So everyone, for them to please God to be saved, they should act right so God will receive them. It happened to me when I got the gospel message. I decided for Christ, but I couldn't attend any altar call. I knew something had happened in my life, but I still continued smoking. Because I knew in church they said smokers are not welcome. I struggled for 3 months to stop smoking and I couldn't stop it. Until one night I decided and said, I'll go with my cigarettes. And that's the night I stopped smoking. Now I want you to see a certain attitude that is there. Because of our religious nature, We always say, leave sin and come to Christ. So if I leave sin, why did Jesus Christ die for me? Where is the power of the gospel then if I can do it alone? So you find you begin to have classes of people for those who can go to heaven, who qualify already before Jesus dies. So grace will be made of no effect. The pastors will tell you, oh, today I got a big fish. There are big fish and small fish. Especially those with their money already, they are big fish, and those poor ones are small fish. That's the religious approach to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it has affected the power of the gospel adversely. We are saying the effort to make ourselves right before God is with us, not with Christ. So the more you act, the better you become. So our believers also become performers and actors, like the previous speaker was saying. Jesus had no good word for those actors. He called them hypocrites. And whenever he met them, he would give them a straight rebuke. He would be kind to prostitutes, not to hypocrites. Why? Because hypocrites were people who attempted to do what only God could do. Hello?
Amen.
They are trying to help God save them. Because they see God may fail to finish the job. You know, one day after preaching our first sermon on one Sunday, I was meditating on the notes that we took from a seminar in South Africa, Safe Harbor. It was an hour. And for the first time in my life, I felt what it means to be filled with the love of God. And then I could see how it is easy to forgive when the heart is full of love than to try to do it from your intellect and your effort. And this is why Jesus would always say to Paul, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Because when you are weak, I am strong. What makes it possible? Because grace is sufficient for you. This is the picture that is there. The people who rescue people who fall, who drown, they have got a very simple tactic. When somebody falls into the water, they don't follow immediately. They wait for the person to get tired or exhausted. Because if you want to help somebody who is helping himself, you'll be in trouble. Let me tell you, trying to help ourselves to get our own righteousness is in human nature. It was the problem from Genesis through to Revelation. That was the problem of Job. He was boasting about his righteousness until God came into the scene. He says, there is somebody who is speaking without reason. Can you stand up? Let me speak to him. You see, Job has been bragging about his righteousness. You are give to the poor. I don't lust any woman. Even my children are okay. And when God came, he doesn't say, oh, well done, Job. He says, but you are speaking without knowledge. Hello? The religious people of Jesus Christ's time. Yet this to say. This is after Jesus Christ had multiplied bread. They follow him. And Jesus says, you are following me because you need some more bread. And he says, labor not for the meat that perishes, but labor for things that do not perish. And they did catch another different concept. They thought he was saying, work hard to be saved. Then they asked another question. We read from John chapter 6.
Verse 28.
They say, then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Already human nature will tell you, if God has to be happy, I must work. So what must we, how must we act so that God can be happy? Hallelujah. No, if you are a pastor who is a performer, you think God will love you more because you are working more? You have a problem of understanding the nature of God's love. God's love is unconditional. In fact, the Bible says the love of God can always be understood in this way, that while least we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. What performance do you think will make God happier? The only result of a minister who works to please God is burnout. You come to a place where you discover God is so big, you can't make him happy. You become frustrated because he is not commenting or giving you an appraisal. You lose the desire to work. You begin to hate or injure your congregation. You become so sensitive. Instead of building up, you will actually be destroying. Because you were trying to do a work that you cannot accomplish. Hallelujah. You are trying to do what God has already finished. This is the answer that Jesus Christ gave to these guys. He says in verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you may that ye believe on him whom he has sent. No sweat. You know, people don't do what they know. They will always do what they believe. That's why faith is so powerful than intellect. It is so powerful because it influences your heart, just as he says. And Paul at one time says, let it be of faith that it may be by grace. Because it is that heart condition that attracts grace in your life. And one other portion of grace is, can easily be divined to be what we call divine enablement. Some of the things that we struggle with, it's a question of believing. And this is exactly what Jesus was saying here. The works that you may do to get this right kind of righteousness that you need is that you believe in me. And that's it. It's complete. You know, it's Pastor Mariana was preaching here. He reminded me of a certain one day I was visiting my daughter. She was not there. And the next door neighbors were having the loud discussion. And this girl was saying, our pastor is a tough pastor. If he prays for you and you don't fall, he will continue praying for you until you fall. But there is this one gentleman, he refused to fall. And he continued to pray and he continued to pray until he fell. Now, if you are a pastor and you overhear such conversation, you see how much sense of lack we have. We are not satisfied by the righteousness that we have been given for free. We are not satisfied by the love that God has given us. That's why we are so sensitive to know who is loving us in the congregation and who does not love us. And such a leader falls into the trap of insecurity. The result is you always try to group people around you. You always want to know who is loving me this week and who is not loving me. Is God's love not sufficient for you? Nobody is called to be loved by anybody else except God. Because God knows he has given enough. And he is demanding the same to him. And I was meditating about the first church in the book of Revelation, the church of Ephesus. Jesus is saying you are doing a lot of good work. But what shocks me is when he says, but you have left your honeymoon first kind of love. And if that is not sorted out, it doesn't matter how much good you are doing, I will leave you. That's a serious threat. Hello? You know, when you build a mindset into our people, like what Brother Marianazo is saying, they will always act like that. How is a mindset built? If we bombard our people with the wrong doctrine, we will make a congregation of judges. It will be difficult to put a new believer in a congregation of judges. That's why one time Jesus Christ said, him who does not gather with me is there to scatter. In other words, if you are not attractive, you are repulsive. How do you chase people away? If you act a Pharisee, is a person who is a holy thou art, who is riding in his ivory tower, how do you reach out to those who are down? Because you are saying, climb up to my ivory tower, otherwise you cannot afford. Then reaching out becomes very difficult. But the moment you remember, whilst I was a sinner, Jesus Christ died for me, it says, whilst we were sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. It will take away all the spiritual pride that can envelop your heart. That's what God did. That's what Jesus Christ did. He became a man to win men. He lost a lot to get to where he was. Hallelujah. Now, our problem is when we think we work out things out. Then we always come to a place where we expect everybody to work out their righteousness. And this is why Jesus Christ says, if your righteousness does not exceed that of these Pharisees. Because the righteousness of the Pharisees is self-righteousness. That's why they could see Jesus Christ a sinner who mingled with sinners. You will not enter. One day Peter had a similar conversation. How many minutes to go, brother? 5 minutes. Okay, 5 minutes, thank you. There is the rich ruler who comes to Jesus Christ and says, how can I enter the kingdom of heaven? Because this guy thought it was the power of money that will get there. Says, do you know the commandments? Yes, I observed them from my youth. He said, next is sell all you have and give it to the poor. And Jesus Christ is now dealing with his barrier to salvation. The Bible says he went away very sad. Because his means of getting to heaven cannot take him to heaven, and it's a barrier. There are times when wealth becomes a religion. And Jesus Christ says, how difficult it is for those who trust in riches to enter heaven. And Peter was quick to ask and says, if it is as tough as that, then it's quite impossible to get there. You know what Jesus Christ said? What is impossible with men is possible with God. The issue of salvation is God's possibility. And it's man's impossibility. You cannot fathom it out, you can't work it out. So don't try to stop them from drinking. Say, stop drinking, then come to church. They will never come. Hallelujah.
Amen.
They will never even try to come. Because it will be difficult to leave. But God's favor, the moment it begins to influence the heart, it is very easy to throw that away and work it out. Because that is the God's enablement to loosen us from these things. Hallelujah.
Amen.
May God bless our hearts. And let's change our way of thinking from that of the Pharisaic kind of seeing the gospel to how Jesus looked at it. You know, there are times when we fail to present Christ as he is. Sometimes Christ is like our church. Sometimes Christ is like our pastor. You will see that statistics as I speak today. There are so many people who have believed in the Lord who are not coming to church. Why? They have no reason of getting there because they don't see Christ there. The brothers they meet are actually judges. They will tell them what to do, and they know it's very difficult for them to do that. So they jump from church to church. Very difficult situation. I sometimes have asked my students and said, does God come to church? Some said, yeah, he comes to church. Then you ask him, what does he do when he comes to your church? The explanation shows you that he doesn't come to church at all. Hallelujah. Grace is sufficient for our hearts. Is the only influence that can change a person permanently.
Amen.
Without behaving as if they are changed, they act on their own because God is in their hearts. They have nobody to deceive except themselves. So they will never grow to be hypocrites, but to be true before the eyes of the Lord whom they serve. May God bless you in the name of Jesus Christ.